Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Meal Mentor Weight Loss and Nutrition Research Podcast. Each episode, we'll discuss a book or a study, what it means, and how you can incorporate those teachings into your life to reach your potential and goals as fast as possible. Basically, I'm doing all the research and reading so you don't have to. And I'm really starting to consider renaming this podcast to Shortcut to Slim or Shortcut to Health. Anyway, in episode 2, we're going to explore the question, should you track your calories to lose weight? So one thing you've heard me say in episode 1 and also the regular Meal Mentor podcast is that weight loss is physics. You have to consume less energy than you burn. Create a deficit to lose weight. That's the beautifully simple part, and it's the only thing that's going to be simple in this podcast, but that's it. Now, here's the not-so-simple part. A calorie is not always a calorie, so it's not a straight math formula. For example, not every calorie is absorbed the same way. In Catching Fire, not the Hunger Games book, totally different book, but in Catching Fire by primatologist Richard Wrangham, he explores how the shift from raw to cooked foods was the key factor in human evolution. Specifically, our digestive tract got smaller, our brain grew bigger, time spent chewing all these raw, hard foods was then upcycled into time setting up camp that formed society and all kind of personal bonds. One of the main points from his book is that by cooking our food, we are better able to absorb the nutrients and also the calories in that food. And the same is true for non-thermal processing, such as pureeing. This means calories from pre-digested foods like smoothies or hummus or applesauce, or highly processed food like Oreos or potato chips, are absorbed much more easily than whole foods. Meaning, you might not absorb all the calories available in an orange, but you're probably going to absorb every last calorie in a Taco Bell taco or a Dorito. This understanding also helps illuminate what Dr. McDougall says about oil being easily converted to fat on the body, that whole, the fat you eat is the fat you wear. From your lips to your hips is very real, especially when it comes to highly processed foods. Sidebar, there's also new research that gut bugs can determine how much we absorb. Some people absorb calories more easily than others, so it's not purely a difference in metabolism or NEAT, which is short for non-exercise activity thermogenesis, as we once thought. So not every calorie is nutritionally equivalent either, and intuitively you know this. You know that 100 calories of carrot cake isn't the same as 100 calories of carrots. 100 calories of olive oil, which is a little bit more than 2 teaspoons, for example, it has virtually no nutrients. It's pure fat, 11.3 grams of fat, no protein, no fiber, no vitamins, no carbohydrates, where 100 calories of olives, the actual olives, which is about 20 olives, that has 5.5 grams of carbohydrates, 0.7 grams of protein, 2.8 grams of fiber, 9.4 grams of fat, which is a little bit less, plus vitamins A, C, calcium, and iron. Or let's use apple products as an example. 100 calories of apple juice, which is just a little bit less than 1 cup of juice, compared to 100 calories of whole apples, which is about 1 good-sized apple. The apple has 5 times more protein and 4.4 times more fiber than the juice. The juice is basically just sugar water. You could probably just eat packets of sugar and be about the same nutritionally speaking. And then remember, you're more likely to absorb every single calorie in the oil or the juice. These examples also nicely prove my next point, which is not every calorie satiates in the same way. And you've experienced this before when you ate a donut and were starving an hour later. 250 calories of donuts won't leave you as energized or as satisfied for as long as 250 calories of, say, bananas. But even whole plant foods vary greatly in satiety. A boiled potato, for example, is the most satiating food there is. It blows every other food out of the water on the satiety index. It's one of the reasons why all the Meal Mentor members, myself included, are so obsessed with them. Which reminds me, I definitely have to do a podcast on the potato. But coming back to this podcast, and as I mentioned in the last episode, this more or less explains what my problem was when I couldn't lose weight, even when I was eating what looked like a perfect diet of fruits and vegetables. Using the meal plans really taught me about what foods to choose so that I would be satiated, so I wouldn't overeat, but I would still eat the calories I needed to have a deficit to lose weight. But I've digressed. And I'm really sorry about this. I'm just going to say it now. There's still more problems with counting calories. The big one being we actually have no idea how many calories are in any given food. And I'm not just referencing apples and bananas and oranges that don't come with a label. Of course, we can never know exactly how many calories are in an apple we picked off the tree. And as I mentioned earlier, we never know exactly how many of the available calories we absorb anyway. But food labels are also inaccurate. Most labels and calorie estimates on the packages of food we buy, from Doritos to rice, they can be off by as much as 10 to 30%. And that's totally allowed by the FDA, by the way. In fact, that was a big issue Wrangham brought to light with his research on absorption. We're also really, really bad at guessing, which almost all of us are doing when we plug what we're eating into food journals and calorie calculator apps like MyFitnessPal. The biggest source of error with calorie determination is portion size. So if you're not measuring everything extremely carefully, you're going to be off. And even if you are extremely precise, you're still going to be off because labels and the USDA estimates are, well, only estimates. The calorie gives us an unfair sense of precision, which is why relying on it can be so detrimental to weight loss. This is especially true if you're also exercising, because humans have a tendency to underestimate how many calories we consume while we greatly overestimate the calories we burn. Machines, all those expensive watches and apps, by the way, they're incredibly inaccurate. Far, far, far too generous. Don't believe them. So here's my experience. I tracked my calories for a long time, and it was beneficial in the beginning because I was completely in the dark about how many calories were in foods. I had major, major portion distortion going on. Tracking became a teaching tool that helped me make better choices. For example, I would ask myself, what would fill me up more? 1/4 cup of almonds or almost 2 whole cups of blueberries? Because they're exactly the same amount of calories. And if you would like to see a great comparison, visit getmealplans.com/podcast and you'll see the image comparing those two foods. But this practice of counting calories took a less helpful turn when I started looking at my app to see how many calories I had left in order to justify eating, typically off plan and often when I wasn't even hungry. Oh, I have 50 calories left? Better go eat something. Or, I have 200 calories left? I can have a cookie! Eventually, I stopped losing weight. This was incredibly frustrating to me because what had been working so well now suddenly wasn't working. And according to my app, I wasn't, quote, going over my calories. So why wasn't I losing? Now I understand. Because I didn't really have that many calories left. It's just not that precise. And I was nullifying my deficiencies, any amount of calorie deficit I'd created. Because the one and only beautiful simple part to all of this is that weight loss requires that calorie deficiency. For a while, I just simply journaled, meaning I wrote down what I was eating on paper, but it was only a list of what I ate. I would have to do math right there on the spot of all the numbers, and since I'm lazy and not the best at math, I never did. The list was more there to remind me of what I had eaten so I could keep myself accountable and say to myself, you just had all this food an hour ago. You're not actually hungry. This is bored or emotional hunger. And this is exactly what Laura, one of our members, said too. When I asked people if they tracked their calories journaled or just followed the meal plans, Laura wrote, I have to write it down. If not, I forget that I ate extra bites or handfuls of things. And those things add up. And then I basically end up sabotaging myself thinking I ate less than I actually did. And here's what a few other people said as well. Siri said, I don't track calories. I just eat meal plan meals. Sometimes I add a potato or another side. I stopped tracking calories because I am lazy. Smile emoji. Vibia wrote, I log my food in my fitness tracker app, not because I want to keep track of calories or anything, but just out of habit from tracking sleep and exercise. And it feels pretty good when I always have an awesome food score since I've started the meal plans. Kiki emoji. Mary wrote, have used Fitness Pro app on my phone. Love it because it shows you nutrition as well as calories and connects with the app that records my steps for the day. Love this when I was just starting and was worried about getting the right nutrients. Raya wrote, I need the accountability for emotional times. Susan, I just use mine to track steps and sleep. I have lost 16 pounds just using the meal plans and I feel great. Way to go, Susan. Jen, I became obsessed with my Fitbit. It was more about the steps and numbers and not about a healthy relationship with exercise and food. I feel so much freer without it. Laura, different Laura. I used to write down everything. That's how I found out I was under eating, sometimes only 600 calories a day. No wonder I was dragging my feet. And lastly, Lynn. I used to journal and record everything, food, exercise, etc. After reading several things from Dr. McDougall and others, I'm convinced that this is not necessary. I just let go of record keeping and let my body keep track. I follow the meal plans rather closely, but if I need to eat additional healthy food, I do. It is working well for me, and I am much less stressed about everything. Arlene, I always thought the calorie in versus calorie out thing was weird, but when I am hungry, I eat, not when I have an extra 300 calories in the bank. I resist logging my calories. You can trust the meal plans. Brandy, tracking has the opposite effect on me. If I track, I want more. I haven't tracked one bite since starting Meal Mentor, but I have been mindful and tried to only eat when I'm actually hungry. So what can we glean from their experiences and all this information? The calorie is useful as a relative measure, which is why we still use it when building the meal plans. Tracking can also be a helpful learning tool or a resource for feedback, particularly when you're first starting out. Keeping a log but not tracking exact calories can also be incredibly helpful if you are an emotional eater, overeater, or mindless muncher such as myself. But tracking your calories isn't something you can rely on like religion, and it's not enough by itself. Bottom line, we don't know how many calories we're taking in, and we don't know how many calories we're burning. We just can't outmath our bodies or nature. Plus, a calorie is not always a calorie. As we learned in this episode, some calories are more easily absorbed than others. Of course, they're not always nutritionally equivalent. They don't satiate in the same way, and so on. When it comes to weight loss, focus on nutritious foods that make you feel full and for a long time, but on a smaller amount of calories, which is exactly what we do with the meal plans each week. If you want to learn more and get started on these meal plans, they definitely take all the headache out. Visit gapmealplans.com. Thank you for listening to episode 2. I'll be back with episode 3 very soon. And I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon from gapmealplans.com.